Well, guys, we got quite a week of stories to talk about, but the big story for us today, and boy, I just jumped on it when I saw it, Gary and Ed, because I know it's been a passion for us, at least for me, and I believe for us as well in general, and that is getting rural America connected. And by rural America, that means, you know, often those areas just outside of the big metropolitan area.
Oh, absolutely. And in Michigan, it's even worse because we're, as Gary has said, we're a peninsula. And in the thumb, yep, they're a peninsula within a peninsula. You know, so it's, they're really up the creek without internet.
Yeah, and the other half of our state as well, yep, is actually part of Wisconsin, to be quite honest with you, but was made part of Michigan. We're talking about the Upper Peninsula. As a matter of fact, we've got a very special friend of ours, Charlie Hopper, who's going to be on with us shortly to talk about that. But our program today, guys, is going to be focusing on an announcement that was made by Brad Smith. He's the president of Microsoft, and it came on
Brad Smith, the CEO. Brad. Yep.
And it was to me, it was a kind of a shock that they would come up with that kind of thing. But it was a very important because Microsoft is putting a tremendous amount of money behind a national program to connect rural, our folks who are in our fair state of Michigan, for instance, and other rural areas of the United States, 23 million of them in all, I think, to connect them with broadband internet. And that has been a tremendous challenge up to this point.
Now, Gary, you've always called that, what, the last mile?
Yes. And it's so interesting because in the U.S., we're behind. Microsoft has been doing this throughout Asia. In fact, all of Singapore, of course, it's only 26 miles, square miles, but all of Singapore has been up for a while using the same technology. And it's just unfortunate. But we are so highly regulated here in the U.S. that it just takes a while. You know, Foster, do you want to explain what white spaces are? Because everybody's vying for that spectrum, right?
I'm certainly hoping that somebody else can.
Well,
I'm still trying to figure it out. The TV white spaces.
Well, the white space was a space between channels 2, 3, and 4 in the old-fashioned analog television broadcast.
That's right.
That was discontinued 9 years ago.
I think, yeah.
Nine or 10 years ago, and that's the space, the buffer space between the two. Think of it as like the meridian between a two-lane or four-lane expressways, to keep the traffic away from each other and from bleeding over. So if you get stray electromagnetic things that affect the electrical signals traveling through the air, you don't want them trespassing on the other spectrum, like lightning strikes. So you always have this buffer space of unused radio frequencies between all the channels.
And those are the white spaces.
Those are the white spaces. So the regular channels are being sold off by the FCC, or not sold off, auctioned off at a very slow rate. But the white spaces have not been sold off. And what Microsoft would like to do is partner with other companies to utilize this for those last miles, or last, in some cases, 25 miles, so that you can reach rural America.
Yeah, and by the way, I should mention that we're going to be having in just a little bit Jameson Zimmer, who is with the Broadband Now. It's kind of a coalition that's been set up and for a long time has been working both in urban and rural areas to extend broadband's reach. And he'll be on, I'm sure he's got, so he can help us with more of these definitions.
I love that name, Jamerson. That's awesome.
You just wanted, anyway.
He's getting thirsty.
Never mind. what's interesting is while the television stations have said, oh, well, we have to protect our space, it is a buffer, and that is exactly right. That's the excuse that they're using. Yet when you have high-definition TV, you may notice that because of digital, you get 2.4,
right,
2.6, and they're television stations.
Yep.
So this isn't really about protecting Channel 2. It's about a land grab between people that want to use it for television, 2.2, 2.4, whatever, and people that want to use it for internet access, and you're right, anywhere where a television signal can go, this is This is, the advantage of this brand in the spectrum.
Oh, so I misunderstood this. I was under the impression that this was the old radio frequency spectrum for the old televisions and that the new high-def channels weren't in there at all.
Well, we're going to find out more about the details of this in just a moment. Matter of fact, we're going to hear the statement from Brad Smith, who is the president of Microsoft, about what they're planning on doing in just a minute after the break. And then also we're going to bring aboard Jameson Zimmer, who's going to help us to understand a little bit more about some of these things. And Charlie Hopper is going to join us from the UP to talk about what he's been doing precisely to connect his neighbors to the Internet. All that coming back up in a moment. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, and today we're focusing on connecting rural America with the Internet, broadband Internet. Earlier this week on Tuesday, an announcement was made by Microsoft about they're, putting their money in. It's kind of like, I guess, a game of poker, and they're anteing up.
Yeah, they're putting the hat in the ring. And now we know why Gary, of course we all knew this, you and I knew this, but why Gary is the Internet Advisor. He schooled me during the commercial break on exactly what the radio frequency spectrum is for UHF, VHS, and the digital TVs. Thank you, Gary.
Well, we're gonna get
you of all people don't need schooling in this. So.
No, he did have to correct me because I was wrong.
And I'll have to say this, it is kind of complicated in some way.
It is,
and we're gonna try to tease that apart right now because the state of Michigan, in particular, is one of the 12 states that's targeted for this program. I tell you what, before we get into introducing our other guests who are here, let's hear the announcement made by the president of Microsoft earlier this week in Washington, D.C., about this new program.
Brad Smith, president at Microsoft. There are 34 million Americans that don't have broadband internet access today, and of these, over 23 million live in rural parts of the country. That's millions of our fellow citizens who are not able to use the vital services that the rest of us take for granted. We need to do better as a country. The time is right to set an ambitious but achievable goal of bringing broadband coverage to every corner of the nation within 5 years. Well, this isn't just about letting people watch YouTube videos. It's about giving individuals access to telemedicine services from a Veterans Administration hospital. It's about improving agriculture and education and everything in between. We think that the public use of TV white spaces technology can make a real difference. It can dramatically reduce the cost of providing broadband technology to the 23.4 million Americans in rural America who don't have it today. We're investing our own resources in addressing this challenge. The Microsoft Rural Airband Initiative will include work directly with telecommunications companies to bring broadband to 2 million people within 5 years. It also includes a major philanthropic partnership with the National 4-H Council to provide digital training skills to rural communities. And it includes a technology licensing program so that other companies can make use of Microsoft's innovations in building these new technology solutions.
And that's Brad Smith, who is the president of Microsoft. Guys, let me introduce to our program right now, Jameson Zimmer. Jameson is with the Broadband Now. And Jameson, thank you so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
Hey, Foster. Thanks for having me. It's great to be on.
I'm excited to have you with us, and we're going to be bringing on somebody else in just a little bit who is one of our dear old friends and a partner who is running an ISP in the northern reaches of Michigan, one of the areas that Microsoft actually targeted for helping to reach folks in the rural area. First of all, can I get your feedback? You folks at Broadband Now have been working for a long time on breaking out and getting broadband to people, whether it's in urban settings or in rural settings. Give us your reaction to this announcement by Microsoft.
My reaction is that it's a brilliant idea. I mean, just looking at our data that I have in front of me now of broadband coverage in Michigan, that upper peninsula you mentioned, the peninsula within a peninsula is just bright red so far as underserved populations. You've got about 15% underserved population in Michigan, meaning people who have either zero or one option for internet, with that one option usually being like overpriced, very slow satellite internet. And only 88% broadband coverage, which puts you about in the middle on states. My reaction to it is that it's a brilliant idea. I like that it's a lot of the ideas we've been hearing the past few years about connecting rural areas and just the world in general to the internet have been pretty flashy. We've had Musk talking about low orbit satellites, and I'm sure you've talked about some of these things on your show.
Sure.
We have like Google's balloon project, which was pretty wild, launched in New Zealand trying to broadcast wireless from literally hot air balloons.
That was Loon, wasn't it? Project Loon, I think.
Project Loon.
I think there were some kites involved somewhere at one point too.
Yeah, but my reaction is that in a sea of kind of flashy, crazy schemes, Microsoft is very low-key. It's been proved to work. Like you said, in Singapore, it's already in action.
Yep.
It's already working. Like Virginia, where I'm located, is actually down here in Claudeville, was the first white space network that was put in, or not network, but the first white space setup that was put in back in 2009. So this has been proved to work. The only thing standing in between it is pricing and, like you said, regulation, which is a huge problem with the U.S. broadband market.
One of the things that Mr. Smith pointed out was that they are going to be promoting a combination of TV white space spectrum, fixed wireless, satellite coverage that can reduce the initial capital and operating costs by roughly 80% compared to the cost of putting down fiber cables, for instance, which is what... You know, it's kind of like the hope and prayer for a lot of these communities is put a backbone through us.
It costs $50,000 a mile. So
yeah, exactly. It's kind of insane if there's other technologies out there which, in combination, can bring this down. And they said, all right, so that's 80% compared to the cost of using fixed fiber cables, and approximately 50% compared to the cost of the current fixed wireless technology that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Which is currently huge in rural parts of states, Michigan included.
Gary, you had a comment? I'm sorry, Gary had a comment.
Yeah, you know what I'm really interested in is all of the philanthropic things that are included in this that Microsoft is going to partner with 4-H and many other groups to help not only give access, but to really put content and other groups involved. That's a little unusual, isn't it? It is a little unusual, and the devil's advocate here is that a lot of TV carriers are, as you might imagine, with any disruptive idea, they are not very happy with it. And
no.
Microsoft, to my knowledge, is on Capitol Hill lobbying hard for this right now, and part of the reason it's only rolling out in very select areas up there in Michigan, here in Virginia, and a few other states is because there's just so much regulation holding back. And part of the reason is that, you know, these TV broadcasters don't want another player in the game. And the criticism here is that Microsoft is trying to basically get this spectrum for free through a back door, through lobbying, through making it.
Yes, that was the criticism.
Because here's the thing, spectrum is incredibly expensive. It's a very finite resource. This is a very slim part of it, but I mean, looking at 5G, which is the next big thing on the horizon, Verizon paid over $3 billion for 5G in the last year in the public spectrum auctions. And so their perspective, maybe not Verizon specifically, but the perspective of incumbent internet providers and broadband providers and TV providers.
But I thought that the...
Where's our piece of the free pie, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, one of the things that the FCC promised was when this spectrum is made available and going up to auction, that they would reserve a portion of it for the underdogs, that they would not allow large companies to outbid all of this. And has that really happened?
I mean, not to a large degree. I mean, there is some preserved spectrum. And I mean, this is where it gets really hairy because there's just so much regulation and everybody in it, every piece of communication that you read on this issue has an ulterior motive from the media to the providers. So it's very hard to parse out. But I'm pretty optimistic about it. I believe that, I mean, broadcast TV is going the way of the dodo.
Yeah.
This spectrum is going to go to something, and it's not really the best spectrum for, you know, more advanced 5G technologies. The thing that it has going for it is that it's durable and it can go twice as long as a lot of the fixed wireless frequencies currently in use.
Guys, let me throw this out to you. What's in it for Microsoft? Somebody asked that question before. What's in it for Microsoft?
That's a great question and a reason to be suspicious. Maybe someone else wants to get in a... maybe somebody else wants to get a word in edgewise here. I feel like I'm rambling a little
bit. No, that's okay. Gary, what do you think? What do you think is in it for Microsoft in this? Because they're not going to...
Yeah, I'm not sure that that we know, or maybe even Microsoft knows. They have not been in the access game in the U.S., and this puts them there. And again, sometimes it's just getting into the game, and later they'll figure out what to do with it. Although, I do think this is an outlet for some of their philanthropic activity that Microsoft has been doing all along. Now it's another channel for them to help other people with.
Okay, back in just a moment with more of this conversation. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell here in studio. And by the way, an old friend of ours, John Humphrey, is in here observing as well. Thanks so much, John, for being with us here at the show.
Thank you, Foster.
He's benefited from the good advice that Ed has had to offer out and was in here to observe the show with us today. Thanks also to Jameson Zimmer, who is the Director of Content at Broadband Now, an organization that works to make complex industry data accessible to people who rely on internet access, which is everybody. His most recent consumer advocacy projects include publicizing the state laws holding back municipal broadband, as well as often misunderstood issues of exclusive internet contracts in apartment buildings. And by the way, Jameson, I live in one of those apartment buildings.
I'll bet you do it.
It's suburban.
It seems like we all do, doesn't it?
Oh, man, yeah. And just it's mad because I can't get any competition. Somebody signed a contract in 2000, a 25-year contract that just locked one company in. Okay, I want to bring into the conversation now, we've been talking about the technology, in particular this white space TV technology, and how that could potentially be part of this unleashing of broadband internet to some 23 million people living in rural America. And by the way, folks, Michigan is one of the 12 states that Microsoft has targeted to be part of their program of linking 2.5 million, I think, of us in rural areas to broadband internet. But somebody who's been working at that job for almost 25 years, or maybe a little bit more than that, is our old friend Charlie Hopper, who is with us from Pasty.net way up in the UP. Charlie, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys.
As always, it's a delight to have you with us. Charlie, I'm going to jump into this quickly because I don't want to waste time. You have been experimenting. You've been using some of this white-based technology, I understand. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, we actually got in on the ground floor of the experimental side of it when the FCC released it. This goes back to like 2010, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked up some of the white space equipment and became a part of the registry. You had to register for it in a database where you would coordinate frequencies. You didn't actually get licensed, you know, to a certain frequency. It was always dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So then we've done testing. We've had some mixed results with it. It's kind of exciting to see this thing with Microsoft stepping up and saying we want to put some dollars behind it, because we've just been using what we can scrape up to to do all this experimenting. And we've used a combination of licensed frequencies and a whole lot of unlicensed technology, but it's kind of some mixed results with white space to this point.
Gary is...
Hey, Charlie.
Go ahead.
Charlie, good to have you on with us. This is Gary.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, so tell me a little bit about the end user and the new technology or the different technology that the end user is going to need or does need for them to access the white space?
Well, for one thing, it's lower frequencies. I mean, it's in a range of frequencies that go through trees and actually dirt. I was amazed.
Wow.
The first test that we did with this, that it, from one hillside to another through the hill, it just seemed to go up and over and, you know, would give us connectivity on the other side. It's just a change in equipment to accommodate those frequencies. And so it's a whole different set of equipment. And I'm sure Microsoft has had a hand in kind of designing that, because I looked at their numbers, and for every one user that we have, they have 184. So as far as white space users or those that they serve in those projects that they were talking about, white space. So we're looking forward to seeing what they have to say and finding out more about it.
Do you think that you'll get, pardon me, some of that money tree will be shaken out towards you, Charlie Hopper?
You make me laugh. I really don't know. It's you know, we'd be glad to participate in anything. We've been in this business for a long time.
So oh yeah.
Right, be right around after the time the web started back in '94 was,
mm-hmm.
Was when the World Wide Web started, and we jumped in about 6 months later, and have had off and on, you know, adding dial up at first, and then we got into the wireless broadband, and it's all been just kind of self funded as we roll out across the UP and cover a lot of woods and a lot of water and a few people along the way.
Miss the moose.
Yes.
Jameson, go ahead. You were going to comment?
Oh, aside from saying that moose probably has a great Instagram account, thanks to you guys. I'm just very interested to hear the wireless provider side here, because wireless is something we're very, very bullish on at Broadband Now. People are always like, why do you guys feature these random fixed wireless providers so prominently? That, you know, this is crazy. But we really feel like this technology is really poised to be a big thing in the next 3 years. So I'm just fascinated to hear this commentary.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the benefits for Charlie is you have some. I mean, that's that part of Michigan is quite other people in the country would laugh, mountainous, but mm-hmm. you do have some high peaks that you can actually place some of your equipment and reach quite a ways.
Yes, we do have, we serve the Keweenaw Peninsula off of all the high spots like Mount Horace Greeley and Rockaway Mountain, and then just even like Calumet is up on a plateau.
That's
it's
right.
up really high mm-hmm. elevation, and so we serve all around there, but there are other areas that it's all just flat woods for, you know, many, many miles, and serving homes in those areas, perhaps white space does hold a solution for that, but we're interested in any kind of technology that's going to help reach people.
Yeah, and as Charlie said, that was the benefit of that frequency range, and why televisions was initially chosen for that frequency range, because it would penetrate trees, dirt, concrete, and so that people could get their television.
And this is so significant, because for any of you folks out there who have cabins up north, and Jameson, excuse me, but this is going to be kind of an entre nous discussion here about our state of Michigan, but I'm sure Virginia, with the mountains you have there and the sea and everything else, you have
different... We got a few mountains, a few cabins, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, for instance, in places like Gladwin, the middle of our state, you know, part of the problem is that development there is so stunted because they can't get good broadband internet, and the practical effect of that is the young people are leaving, the businesses are leaving. This could be extraordinarily important if it can gain some traction. So what do you guys think? What's the key to this gaining traction?
Well, I'd like to learn more about what Microsoft is proposing to do, because it's kind of an unusual model they've talked about. They're not looking at investing, you know, taking an equity position, mm-hmm. but rather they're looking at funding equipment and project,
yeah.
and then using the revenues that come from that to roll into, you know, continuing that funding. And so I'm not real sure how that looks on paper, you know, mm-hmm. and just exactly what they'll be doing to approach it.
They have a huge white paper on that, and as a matter of fact, I had a link to it, and I'm going to try to get that link back and put it on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. Yeah. Jameson, do you know more about that aspect?
I know that the primary barriers that everyone seems to be talking about are just the regulation, and because it relies so heavily on partnerships, like mm-hmm. you said, with third-party providers, I mean, because they're not a provider themselves, this relies on other providers being down to jump on board, and that can be a slow process when you're talking about smaller wireless providers in every nook and cranny of every state that they want to expand into.
But
and these providers aren't necessarily, even if there's money in it, with internet service, I mean, you know, this sparse areas are just very hard economically to justify in a lot of cases, even with dramatically reduced costs. So we see this being a problem as it goes forward.
Yeah, Charlie, that seems to be, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy in the sense that you can't get there because you aren't there. Go ahead, Charlie.
Well, I just had to say, when you say sparse areas are hard to justify, I guess we have another reason besides the dollars. We live here. And we wanted broadband, and so have all of our neighbors. And
yep.
so we just had to come up with ways of reaching them. And we started out with 10 whopping megabits back in 2001, serving the Keweenaw Peninsula, And we now have well over a gigabit that's, that's serving that the same users. So that have expanded quite a bit. So we're always, you know, looking for new ways, new funding, new sources of resources. That, that's the name of the game, more resources.
What has been your biggest obstacle along the way, Charlie?
I'm sorry. That reminded me of, we got a grant back in 2008 from the state of Michigan, and they asked us, what's your biggest source of churn? You know, that you lose users. And they, and our number one source of churn was they die. So that's the truth. That we did an analysis of, at that time, I don't know, we had 800 or 900 users, and how do they live? Yeah. Well, they die.
Charlie, we're running out of time here, but, you know, guys, thank you so much. Charlie Hopper from Pasty.net up north. They're the people who have been working at this. We're going to continue the conversation, you know, Charlie, as we go on. Jemison Zimmer from Broadband Now, thank you for your participation as well in this program.